Welcome to this week's edition of Extra Points. I'm Al Lorenzen, along with Mark Hansen, Casey Shelton, AWOL this week. Actually, that's not true. We know exactly where he is. He's that 9-to-5 job thing that he's got is getting in the way, and he will not be on board with us this week, but we'll make fun of him in his absence.
In his absence? Outside his absence?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. To his face, behind his back. Yeah. We really don't care. We'll make fun of his hair. We'll make fun of just about anything we can as it relates to Casey. As much as you think about this time of year and, okay, what's happening in the sports world with the NFL and the preseason in full swing with 6 games on Thursday night here, that's happening. You got, surprisingly, a lot of other news going on. So there's a lot to talk about, a lot to get to, Mark.
There is. And are we going to get to it right this minute?
Well, we're going to get to it whenever you would. Okay. I mean, you've got your note cards handy.
I found my little purple notebook, too.
I'll just throw some things at you, and we can start with whichever one of these things jumps out at you. But you've got, obviously, Paul George and that gruesome injury as part of USA Basketball, the compound fracture of his tibia and fibula. And I can even say that. I can even say tibia and fibula this last week, and that brought back some memories for me. We'll get into that here in a minute. You got Becky Hammon, the first woman hired to coach in the NBA. I mean, there's been lots of publicity stunts and gimmicks over the years, but this is Greg Popovich saying, you know what? I think she's the best person for the job. We're going to hire her. That's something that I think there's some meat on that bone to kick around a little bit. Obviously, you've got Iowa State football heating up, and there's some things to chat about there. You got the NCAA, which was a foregone conclusion, giving the Big Five conferences not autonomy, but the ability to govern themselves in some very key areas going forward with the NCAA. And so, what that means to the landscape of major college athletics and those five power conferences and what that means. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. And then I would expect some of the usual wacky hijinks that makes Mariah roll her eyes while she's running the board.
She's limbering up her eyes for the rolling.
Yep. You know, it's state fairs going on. I mean, we've got cow chip throwing contest next week.
Mariah won't be in that, though. She refuses.
No.
I don't throw cow chips. That's something that I don't do.
Do you pitch them?
Do you tip cows?
No. I've seen tractor tipping.
Ah. What about, have you ever been on a snipe hunt?
Yes. Yes, I have been on a snipe hunt.
What is a snipe hunt?
That's where an excuse to go out in the woods and make out.
Oh. No, see, the snipe hunt that I went on.
There's no such thing as a snipe.
Yes, I know, but see, our counselors, I was at summer camp, and I was probably about 10 or 12, and our counselors sent us all on a snipe hunt, and we had pillowcases, and they pretended to rip the snipes through our pillowcases, and they made us think
that there were. Oh, so it was a fun thing.
They made us think that there really were such things as snipes.
I think snipes are an endangered species, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a non-existent species. It's just like, well, let me put it in terms you would explain. A snipe hunt to me is like in your generation when the car would run out of gas on a lonely stretch of road on your dates.
See, in our generation, it's different. Snipe hunt is like, oh, look, the word gullible's painted on the ceiling.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And it's something you do to somebody that's stupid.
You can relate to running out of gas. You ever use that line, that move?
No, I don't. I've never run.
Did you ever fake the yawn in the movie theater to put your arm around a girl?
Not in a while.
No. I was going to say
just
now.
Last night, as a matter of fact, I did.
I was going to say.
Jody and I were out at the movie. And
it doesn't. It's not the same with Netflix when you in your own comfort. It's just not the same. You have to be in public because at home, if I do something wrong, my wife just whacks me. I just get a backhand or something. Some type of physical repercussion. But in public, she typically doesn't hit me.
She pinches you.
Yeah. No, she acts like she doesn't know me typically. Yeah, when you look at all that's going on, let me steer us back since Mariah sidetracked us here. Let me steer us back on track. And, the Paul George injury for me brought back instantly my youth when Lawrence Taylor sacked Joe Theismann. And, at that point, TV really didn't know, should we show this? Should we not show it? Now there at least is some protocol when we had the kid from Louisville, butcher his leg, tear his leg up, in the NCAA tournament here recently. they didn't show it. And I think we're all glad they didn't show it.
He planted it and broke it in half.
So you cover sports a long time.
Yes, I have.
You've seen some grotesque, gruesome things.
Yeah, I've seen a million bad knee injuries. And that's, you know, it almost gets to be commonplace after a while. It's not commonplace for the person it happens to, but it's bad. I think...
What's worse when you see a knee done... on a basketball court where you're up close and personal, a football field, you're so far removed and they're wearing pants and they're dead. I mean, if I asked you to rate which one was worse to observe.
A knee or a break?
No, whether it's basketball or football.
Oh, I think it's basketball because you can actually see everything right there. They're wearing shorts and you can really get a good look at it, and that's not pretty. But, you know, when you're talking about the worst injuries, and I've only seen this in replays, but do you remember when the hockey goalie, I think it was, where was, I forget what team he was from, but
it doesn't matter, it's hockey.
It's hockey, but yep. They were coming in for a fast break or whatever they call it in hockey, and they had
there was a break
big collision, yep. A big collision,
and he got
oh,
that's
throat,
right,
his throat.
I do
thrashed.
Remember that.
And that was the most.
That
was
life threatening.
That was life. Yeah, and he was back in the saddle about 10 days from now. But you could.
He's a hockey player.
The blood was gushing.
I remember
spurting.
That. I just remember seeing the blood everywhere, and the ice was covered in blood.
That was just unbelievable. That was bad. There are other ones, but go ahead.
When I think about. You know, when you think about these freak things, and they don't really happen that often. And then when the Paul George thing happened, I started recounting and going back to, I remember I was on TV watching Joe Theismann with the Washington Redskins, and
yes.
Compound fracture, same yes. thing. His bones came shooting out the side of his sock. And so you think, well, okay, that's a once in a lifetime. It's a rare occurrence. It's what. Then I started thinking about Paul Lusk when Paul Lusk started his career at Iowa.
Yeah.
And playing over in Des Moines, and same thing. Paul went to plan and take off, and just his lower leg just snapped in half, basically. I mean, I don't believe it was a compound fracture, but you could see literally his leg all of a sudden from, you know, about halfway down his shin is taking a right turn. And so, yeah, I start thinking about then I'm in France, and actually two freak things in the same year in France, watching one of our junior team players play in a junior game, and... Same thing. He gets caught funny and goes and literally same. It was a compound fracture. His fibia didn't poke through the skin, but his tibia did. So, you know, he's bleeding on the basketball floor. His leg is going the wrong direction. Just a gruesome thing. And then my favorite grotesque injury story, Perry Carter, who played at Ohio State. Perry
big,
was
big, burly guy.
Oh, just a specimen. Perry was the other American with me my second year in France when I lived in Normandy. And Perry was a strong guy, but he also would pick on certain players in practice, and that was just his way of showing you who's boss. Mm-hmm. And he and I had went round and round a few occasions, but Perry tries to foul this kid. This kid wasn't even a good player, didn't even play a lot. He goes in for layup. Perry goes to foul him, and between his second and third fingers, his middle fingers on his hand, he hit the guy so hard on the guy's wrist, yeah. He wedged the wrist between those fingers and split his hand about 3/4 of an inch down between his two fingers. And
like he had a claw almost.
Yeah, right. And you know, blood's going everywhere, and literally his hand was opened up. And you know, I'm thinking, A, how big a thug do you have to be to hit somebody that hard? And B, that's really got to hurt. So I started thinking about, these things aren't that unusual in the sporting world.
I think they happen all the time. I think, I remember when I was a kid, and this does not happen all the time, but when I was a kid, I was watching the Chicago Bears play the Detroit Lions. It was at the old Briggs Field. I don't know.
Was
if
this in color or black and white?
Not in my house. It wasn't in color. Not then anyway. Yeah. It was in black and white, as a matter of fact, which was fitting for Detroit and the Bears and those
black
times.
And blue would have been even more fitting.
Yeah, the guy, all of a sudden, I don't really know if you've seen this, but it really stuck in my mind because of the way it all happened. Chuck Hughes, wide receiver, seldom used wide receiver,
yep.
was going out for a pass. He just caught a pass. A few plays later, he got a first down. It was like one of the few passes he caught for the Lions. A few downs later, he's sitting there he goes out and all of a sudden he collapses. He collapses.
Scary stuff. And everyone thought
they didn't know what was going on. But all of a sudden Dick Butkus, who they thought had hit him somehow, which hadn't happened.
Right.
Butkus
could look at you and you'd collapse, though. I mean,
Yeah, and he notices that something really bad has happened. He sees his face, and this guy is in bad shape. It turns out he's having a heart attack.
Wow.
Chuck Hughes. And
during an NFL game.
During an NFL game. And Butkus is frantically, signaling to the sideline, come on, come on, come on, we need some help here. But yep. Chuck Hughes, he died at the hospital.
Wow.
And that's the only death in NFL football.
Yep. You think about Hank Gathers, you think about some of the incredible things. And not to kick the show off on such a somber note, but this is interesting stuff. And it's stuff that, to me, when an incident like the Paul George thing happens, there's a flood of memories that come back, and it's amazing how you vividly remember things from your youth and other things. We've got to take a break. We're going to jump into the Becky Hammon hire with the San Antonio Spurs and get Mark's enlightened perspective as opposed to my unenlightened perspective on what it'll mean to have a woman on the bench in the NBA. Stay tuned for more Extra Points here on 1350 KRNT right after this.